Hi, everyone. My name is Casey Anderson. I am a PM over on the Visual Studio Debugger. And if you watched the keynote this morning, you may have seen the other Casey touch on just one small debugging feature, which was the new exception helper. Well, in this session, I'm going to go over all the new debugging goodies that we have for you in 2017. And of course I'll be using some of our other goodies that we've had in the product for a while, and I'll make sure to clarify what's new and what you can take advantage of even if you're on 2015 today. So with that, let me just jump into a demo. I have my trusty Project Archive app here, and what this app does, it's kind of just like a repository of applications that my team uses to do demos. And when I start debugging here, and my project builds, you get a greeting at the beginning, and it says "Hello flag conference." So something is happening, and I'm getting a conference flag instead of the actual name of the conference, or in this case, VS Launch. So I want to start debugging that, and that happened in the startup path. So one of the things you can do, and you've always been able to do this, is I can just go ahead and start debugging by doing an immediate step into or step over. So I don't have any code open, and when I do step into, I land at the entry point to my application here in main window. I don't need to find where that is or search through it. I just land there while debugging. And as I scan through my code here, you may notice something that appears when I'm hovering over each of these lines. And that right here is called run to click. So this is a new debugging feature for us in 2017. What this does is, have you heard of run to cursor before? You probably have. That's on the right click menu. So when I do right click over here, we've got run to cursor, Control Shift F10. But now we've added this little green glyph in the editor, and it follows my cursor around while I'm stopped at a breakpoint, while I'm debugging. And when I click on it, execution of my code will run until that point and then stop. So I'm going to go ahead and click it, and you can see that all of these things ran. So the string provider got initialized, and I got a new view model, and then I've stopped on this line before it's executed. So as I want to debug these things, I can use run to click as sort of a point and click debugging, if you will. I know I always have one hand on the mouse because I want to inspect variables with data tips because that's so convenient. And so instead of, you know, setting a breakpoint, hitting the breakpoint, removing the breakpoint, or having to step over and over multiple times, I can just get to the line of code I'm interested in. Speaking of getting to the line of code you're interested in, I'll real quick touch on step into specific. Again, this has been in the product before, but I'm going to right-clicked on my line of code, and I can step into specific. And I want to step into Git Conference. So now my code executes, and I'm in my Git Conference function. And as I'm debugging here, I go, OK, what are my args? I can't see those. They're not initialized yet. So let me run to the next line. OK, I've got my args here. As I keep scanning through my code, I want to see what happens inside this if statement. Do I even hit it? Yeah, okay, so I go inside the if statement, and now I can see kind of what's happening. I have args of 1 is conference, and args of 2 is VS Launch. That's actually what I want. So I'm just going to use edit and continue to add a plus 1 here to start returning the right thing. So let's run past this line and see if conference comes up right. Yes, now conference comes up as VS Launch. Now, when I'm just point and click debugging with run to click over here, I want to show you that you can use run to click between different functions even. So I have the get punctuation function, which I know executes after get conference. And when I click on this here, it runs to that line of code. And I know get exclamation point, it's called from right here. And I could step into, but since my hand is on the mouse anyway, I'm just going to use run to click and run to that line. This might be a good time to point out that we have the run to cursor feature also in the call stack. So in the call stack, I'm about 3 up from the beginning, from my main window method. And sometimes we get nested, you know, 6, 7, 8, 10 layers deep. And when I'm done investigating my issue, I have to step out of all those functions. Well, I don't have to step out. I can right click. And in this context menu here, we've got run to cursor again. So I can go run back up my call stack. So now all of these functions have been executed and I can continue my debug session. Great. So that's what I wanted to show you with run to click. I encourage you to try out some point and click debugging and let me know what you think. So, now I'll get into the fun thing. I mean, they're all fun things, but this is the one that Casey showed in the keynote demo this morning. It's the new exception helper. So when I click on the error here, an exception gets thrown. And I can tell this actually because I have the diagnostics tools window open here on the right side of my screen. I've got exceptions being thrown. It says right here there's four exceptions being thrown. And if I click this button again, it goes up to 8 of 8. So the summary tab is new in 2017. We kind of heard feedback that a lot of people end up closing this diagnostic tools window because it was too big for what their purposes were. So we've added the summary tab to help condense the diagnostic tools window to make it smaller, to give you information at a glance, which is always our main goal for you. And when I click on the events, I can see the exceptions that have occurred. So I know an exception was thrown, a .NET web exception, and I was getting 2 events every time because the exception was caught. And I was getting 4 events because there were 2 exceptions thrown and caught in consecutive order. So just by glancing at the summary tab, I've got insight into what my application is doing. And these exceptions are recorded through IntelliTrace. So IntelliTrace, you might have heard of it. It's an enterprise-only feature, but it's a really great tool for helping you debug exception situations. So I have IntelliTrace, but if I don't have IntelliTrace, how do I know that these exceptions are happening? What do I do? Well, I go to the exception settings window, and I'm going to turn on all my .NET exceptions, my CLR exceptions. So these exceptions will now break when thrown. So I've indicated to the debugger I want to stop on them. So now when I click on this error, I break on the exception that just occurred. And now I can investigate this exception. And yes, the exception helper was the first thing to come up. It broke me at my line of code. It shows me if the exception was thrown or unhandled. It'll show me the exception type and the message. And then it shows me relevant and pertinent information. In this case, my web exception has an inner exception, a socket exception. Previously, in other versions of Visual Studio, I would have to go open the exception details and drill in to each inner exception to really try to parse out the information I wanted. But in VS 2017, we've taken the inner exceptions and we've put them right in your face. And I really hope that's something that you'll enjoy and that'll benefit you. Yeah, so now that I have an inner exception here, I'm just going to keep hitting continue and show you that, the other exception was a web exception. And it also has an inner exception, a socket exception. So the exception helper really is just trying to get you the information you care about as quickly as possible. Well, what other information do you care about, right? Well, when I click on the PAR button, which tries to kick off some parallel execution, I get another exception occurring in the exception helper. And I kind of like hit this and I kind of moan a little bit, oh no, this again. There's about 10 exceptions. I didn't write this file, I didn't add it. One of my coworkers did, right? And it's in this settings library and it'll throw these argument exceptions when registry keys aren't found just because of how they wrote their code. So these exceptions are thrown and then swallowed or caught, but I don't care about breaking on them. And I've sat here before and hit continue. There's about 100 of these registry key exceptions. You can see the key number, key count increase as I keep hitting continue. Well, I could go and uncheck this box down here, break when this exception type is thrown, but that turns off thrown exceptions, breaking on the thrown exceptions for all argument exceptions, which isn't really what I want because that's a pretty common exception type. And in the code that I'm currently working on, I want that argument, I want to be notified when that argument exception actually gets thrown. So one of the things we've added in 2017 now is the ability to condition exceptions, to only break on exceptions that are thrown in modules that you care about. So in the exception settings section, in my thrown exception, I have break when this exception type is thrown, except when thrown from, and then it has the module name, projectarchive.settingslibrary.dll. And when I check this box, there's way more keys to go through, but now when I hit continue, it's not gonna break on that exception, or any argument exception thrown from the settings library. Now I'll show you. I hit continue, and I didn't break on any of those, but I broke on an important exception that I care about in my main window XAML file here, or XAML.cs file here. And I'll show you that one more time, just for the purposes of this demo. That setting, you know, lasts between different launches of my application, so I hit par, and I'm not gonna stop on any of those argument exceptions, and I'm gonna go right to this null reference exception, which is gonna help get me to the code I care about faster, and help me inspect the things I care about. Now, how do I manage what those conditions are and where they're thrown if I'm just going around checking checkboxes? Well, you come back to the exception settings window. Here, I can use reset to clear all my conditions and reset all my settings. And when I expand this list, you can see argument exception, it has the condition module name not equals, and then it put in projectsarchive.settingslibrary.dll. Well, like I said, that settings library, I don't care about anything in here. So I'm going to click on my .NET exceptions, and I'm gonna go edit conditions for that whole category. And it turns out I don't care about any of my settings libraries. Those are signed, sealed, and delivered. So what I want to do is, you can see I'm typing in wildcards here with little asterisks. So any module that contains the phrase settings library, it's applied to all of the exceptions in this list. And so now I won't break on any exception of any type from my settings library DLL. So again, hopefully that'll just save you time. Now, let's go back here to our exception helper. I broke on this null reference exception, and this is the beautiful null analysis that Casey demoed earlier in the keynote this morning. It'll tell you, well, when we can. So, if we aren't confident in our null analysis, we won't show you anything. So if you're not getting it to show up, it might just be that we're unable to figure out what's null ourselves. So, but anytime we can, we will show you. Now, I get the question sometimes, does this print to the output window when I'm just going through my code and the exception's thrown in and handled? And the answer to that is no. We only do this null analysis when you break on the exception. But the great news is that we don't just do this for C#. We also do this for native exceptions, and native exceptions actually got this first. So in this managed example, you can see that help get prime, it's bolded here, it was the thing that returned null. Well, I have actually a native little native sample up here, just because I want to, you know, give love that direction. Then the exception helper works in native code, so you don't have a modal dialog anymore. You have the non-modal helper, just like everyone else now. And then it says A to B. So B was null pointer, because it's bolded here. So in this long chain where anything really could have been the cause of that access violation, I don't have to do any extra debugging to parse this, and I know immediately that B was the root cause. Great, so those are three great things of the exception helper. And I guess I mentioned this diagnostics tools window, so I kind of wasn't going to do this, but I want to come over here for just a minute and show you some other, well, one other new thing that we've added to our diagnostic tools. Besides the summary page, on the summary page, you can see that we have actions to take snapshots and enable CPU profiling. So I'm going to enable CPU profiling now. It was disabled before because there is a small performance overhead. And now that it's enabled, I'm going to restart debugging and hit this null reference exception again, and then show you what happens. So I hit my null reference exception. It's preparing the threads. I guess this is what happens when you do demos live. I don't know exactly how long this is going to take, but I do know that I can select a smaller range of time here, and it'll recalculate my CPU usage based on the range of time I select. So I had selected a pretty big range of time and it was doing a lot of analysis. If you shorten the time range, it'll change the selection. So, okay, now that I've got the selection, I'll just make this just a little bit bigger. I can see the function name here and the total CPU time it took. When I click on the top layer, we open, this is new in 2017, the call or callee view. And I'll just briefly touch on this, that this view tells you, you know, where you came from and where it went. And it shows the breakdown. So it just shows the breakdown of where you came from and where you went. And you can actually click on different things to navigate and look at, okay, now my settings library.file utilities, I want that to be the current function. Well, what did it call and what called it? So that's a great view to improve your usage of kind of our live debugging tools. Okay, so I showed you the diagnostic tools window, showed you the exception helper, showed you run to click. Oh, the last thing that I want to mention is it's for developers who can't F5 their applications or choose not to, because you have some different kind of build system where that's not going to work out for you. So I'm going to go ahead and stop debugging now. And if that's the case, if I couldn't F5 this application, what do? My application's going to be running, and I want to attach to it so I can debug those exceptions I was getting. So I go to Debug, Attach to Process, and we added a little exception filter here. So I can filter to the name of the process I want, and in this case, it's my project archive. So I can easily get to it and then attach. And I guess I'll kind of just prove that I did attach to this process by hitting that error and breaking in my code. Yep. So the newest thing for these situations is when I stop debugging, I go back to the debug menu. Right under attached to process is reattached to process. And when I click this, it's a one-click way to get back into that process I was just attaching to. So now I'll reattach to process. You saw that I stopped debugging entirely. It's going to attach to the same process based on process ID here, and I'll just show you that I can break on it again. There you go. And I wrote a whole big blog post that kind of breaks down how reattach to process works, if you're curious. We attach by process ID and then process name, and you can attach to multiple processes at one time. So if you have any questions, go look at the blog post. Thanks, Seth. Are there any questions on
the
board?
Yes, there are some questions. I have 10 new posts here, so I'm going to see what they are. So let's start out with Cloudy. Oh, are diagnostic tools available in Community Edition?
Yes. So actually, the diagnostic tools window is available in Community. You get the CPU usage tool and the memory tool, but you don't get IntelliTrace.
Okay. Alfred Myers, longtime VS debugger user, new to web dev. If debugging production minimized JavaScript code, can I step into non-minimized code?
I actually am not sure of that answer off the top of my head, but if you tweet at me, I'll find the answer for you.
And I think Mads is going to come on later on. He might be able to answer that question as well,
great.
So we'll make sure to ask him that.
Perfect.
Here's a question from Henrik. Is there a limit of the inner exception?
Yeah. There actually isn't right now. I mean, I'm sure you're going to find our limits if you try hard enough, but we've tried to do some pretty good testing, and you can get up to hundreds of inner exceptions.
I mean, that's got to be some funny code.
Yeah, it would be quite the handful. And I don't know, I've tried to write an app that
I should write something that throws inner exceptions that are really nested, just to see what happens.
Yeah.
If I catch fire, everybody, you know what happened, okay?
Yeah.
Here is another one, Alfred Myers again. Can that exception condition be based on where I am on the stack tray, selected frame, and deeper instead of module?
That's a great question. So we started with module condition based on a suggestion from User Voice because people wanted to not break on third-party DLLs. But we're considering expanding those exception conditions. So we're looking for feedback on functions or call stack. You can't do that right now, but hopefully we can talk about it in the future.
All right, here is an just a fan. Love the new debugging features in VS 2017. That exception helper makes me wonder how I manage without it. How do you get How did you know to write this thing? I mean, did you get a lot of feedback about this?
Yeah, we've been getting feedback on the exception experience in Visual Studio ever since I joined the team almost 3 years ago. And it's been the culmination of all that feedback that's created to this one really good exception helper that'll hopefully help you.
Fantastic. Here's another one. Kudos for the reattach to process. Does it work on PID or process name?
Yeah, so it first works on process ID. So if it finds the same process ID with the same process name, it'll reattach to that. And in the event that you've closed the process, opened it up, it'll look on process name. So we tried to be really smart about getting you attached to the right thing.
Fantastic. So a question for me, if people have feedback about these features, where can they submit them? Is there a place where you're taking these kind of feedback?
So I know we always take feedback on user voice, but sometimes I know people can feel like their opinions get lost there. I am trying to get more active on Twitter, so if you tweet at me, oftentimes I will try to follow up and really take your feedback into account.
So here's one from RMTZ, F-Sharp VS 2017 Diagnostic Tools work in F-Sharp 2.
That is
apparently
correct.
And here's a really, he's like doing it right now. It's a, or she, he or she is doing it right now.
That's awesome. Thanks for trying it out.
Here's another one. Imran, is there any update for the WinDebug application?
No, I don't have an update for you on anything in the WinDBG space.
Fantastic. Well, any final words that you have for people that are watching about debugging? This debugging is probably the experience that I spend the most time in, because tell us about that. How did you come to these features? What are some things that people can look out for?
Yeah, well, you know, you don't get paid to debug your code, right? You get paid to write new code. So we are really just trying to improve your productivity in debugging by helping you understand and get to the places in code you want to be quickly and get you the information you care about quickly. So I guess my parting words are go supercharge your debugging.
Awesome. Well, as we are finishing up, there are a couple of new sessions. They're not new. They're on the schedule. Native Android, iOS, and Windows development coming up next with the awesome James Montemagno. He's just over there. Modern Web Development in Visual Studio with Bowden Kelly and Mads Christensen. The important thing is we want you to ask questions. They will show up here. We will ask the folks that are doing this. So just ask them as they're coming up, as you're watching, and you're like, oh, how did he do that? How did she do that? Why did they do that? Why did she do that? Just ask them and we'll get them up. So we're going to take a little break, and then we're going to go on over to the, well, just went out of my head, Native Android, iOS, and Windows Development C#. We'll see you after the break.